to the gym, coaches. This is Randy Brown with College Coach Mentoring. Welcome to our podcast. This is podcast number 5. Today, our topic is the janitor in the boardroom. So I've got a question, coaches. I'd like you to help me work my way through here. Seen a lot of high school basketball games, a lot of college games over the course of this winter, and I've got something that's perplexing and it continues to bother me. And you know, it's something that I see at the high school level more than the college level, but at the same time, it seems to be part of both games. So here's the scenario. You know, there's some terms that we as coaches use, you know, shot distribution, shot quality, you know, what kind of shot we're getting. Then there's variety of shot. So let's talk about shot distribution, because this is the one that's really got me puzzled. I was in and out of a lot of high school gyms this winter. And you know, if you don't know much about the teams that are playing, if you know anything about basketball, within about 5 minutes, you can figure out who the top two scorers are on each team. You know, actually, it's a philosophy that I got from Coach Tim Floyd at UTEP called 60 by 2. And basically, it says that the two players that will score the greatest percentage of your points, usually around 60% of your points, are the same guys every night that are going to say take basically the same kind of shots and the same number of shots. Conversely, from a defensive standpoint, Coach Floyd's always set up his defense based on the 60% scoring that comes from the two players of the opponent. So right from the get-go, let's keep that in mind. Now, I do believe, and I haven't been told this, nobody's confided in me, but I do believe that there must be a pact that's signed before each high school game, that basically between the parents and the players and the coaches, to say that now this is going to be an equal opportunity here tonight offensively. Let's share the ball and let's really work for a good shot. You know, in fact, let's just work for an open shot. And let's shoot shots that we can get off, that are open shots. Obviously, you can sense the sarcasm, but I'll tell you what, I've seen it time and time and time again. And I'm talking about crowds of 1,000 in games that mean a lot. I'm talking about games that mean a lot also, but are in small rural gyms around the state of Iowa, and it just does not change. Now, in the college game, yes, but I think we understand a college coach is probably, of course, by the virtue of being able to spend more time in practice, have way more contact time with players, videotape, the whole thing, you know, they have much better grip on this than a high school coach does. So what is it I'm talking about? Well, I'm talking about shot distribution. Who is taking these shots? Why would that concern me? Well, it concerns me because, you know, I know that just like any other venture out there, any other business venture, any other situation where people are trying to win, we like to have our best performers determining the outcome. Let's use sales as an example. We have 10 salesmen, and they range anywhere from 11% closing rate to 92% closing rate and everything in between. Does it matter to the CEO of that company who they send out to be closers on deals? Let's say big deals. Let's say deals that they spent 3 years building, and finally it gets down to one meeting where they're going to close. And they have 10 salesmen. Why would they just not draw a name out of a hat and say, okay, go get them? Whether it's the 11% guy, the 22% guy, the 54% guy, or the 92% guy. Well, that's ludicrous, right? You'd be, well, that's ridiculous. Of course you're going to send your 92% guy to go close it, because it's an important account. Okay, I agree. That only makes sense. And I've had this conversation with parents, and it's always a great conversation. Now, as a coach, in order to broach his subject, in order to broach his subject appropriately, you need to make sure that you know the numbers for your players. You need to know their stats. You need to know where they shoot from the right corner, from two, from the left wing, from three, from the free throw line, driving off the bounce and shooting a runner. You need to have all these stats. If you do, I am telling you, between now and next season, you can clean up a lot of wasted possessions. Now, we all are in agreement that possessions are very valuable, and we only have so many of them. And when we waste a possession with a bad shot or a turnover, it's over. We'll never get it back. Well, if that's the case, would we not really spend time and focus in on what kind of shot we're going to get, from where on the floor, and by who? Remember, we have the ball. It's called a possession. We hopefully are going to get a shot to the rim. Would we rather have our top salesman take it or our worst salesman take it? The guy that cannot close 89% of the time. That's our 11% closer in our business. Now, it is the same thing. Don't try to tell me that it's not. It's exactly the same thing. Being open has nothing to do with whether a player should take a shot or not. In fact, as we all know, that's usually part of the equation. It's part of the reason that they are open. So I'm a coach, and I'm going out to play, and I've got a post player that is shooting 57% from the post, and I have a score. He's a good three-point shooter, and he's really good off the bounce. He can score inside and out. Once he gets to the paint, you know, he's really productive. He gets to the foul line a lot. And there's going to be 55 shots taken in my game. Okay. 60 by 2 says that about 32 or 33 of those shots should come from those two players. That's part A. Part B is, of the remaining shots, the remaining 28 shots, or whatever ends up, you know, when you calculate your possessions after you do your 60%, whatever's left, you have to have a grasp on who takes those shots and what kind of shot that player takes. Because your 11 to 29% three-point shooters should not be shooting three-point shots. If so, why would you not send those guys on the biggest sales call in the history of your company? That is an important possession. Games are won and lost in single possession games. I really believe that a high school player has got to show in games he can make at least three shots out of 10. That's 30%. That means he's going to, after everything, every shot he takes, he's going to miss 7 out of 10. I still would have a problem with that problem. Maybe you want to raise it to 33 or 35. Maybe you only have two guys that are above 35. Well, then you really need to think about who you will allow. And this is a team thing. This isn't you being mean to kids. This is a team thing. The players need to understand why having Thomas, who's a 27% three-point shooter, should not take that shot, okay? But Jerome, who's 52% from three, should be taking that instead of him. Now, to me, it makes ridiculous sense that should be the case. So, when I go into a gym and I see quick possessions, first of all, a lot of teams play too fast. Their movements are not purposeful. This floor is not spread, and it looks like a fire drill. They can't wait to get a shot off. And I know about the players on each team. It blows me away that the wrong guys, the guys who should be rebounding, communicating, screening, spacing, driving the ball, all of those things, are spotting up from three because they're open and letting it go, launching it. I don't get it. Listen, basketball is a numbers game. Sales is a numbers game. Everything is a numbers game. If you're in this coaching profession to be a nice guy and provide an equal opportunity, offensive opportunity for all the kids that are going to play for you, that's totally up to you. And if your administrators are on, you know, on cue with that and you're fine with it and you don't mind bad shooters taking shots in important possessions, more power to you. And I hope you can win a few games, and I hope you can keep your job. But this thing's about winning, and it's about planning, and it's about keeping stats, and it's about paying attention to the numbers. And why you would let guys that have proven according to statistics that they're not proficient take shots is just way beyond me. Now, you have to decide shot distribution, shot variety, okay? And what the difference between a good and a bad shot for each player. You have to decide all that. You have to educate your players. Because if not, hey, they all think they can shoot. You know, the worst question we can ever ask a player is, hey, can you hit a three from there? Every player in America is going to say yes. And actually, they're right. They can hit a three from there. Now, it might take them all afternoon, but they can hit a three. That's not the right question. The question is, after busting your butt on the defensive end and rebounding, communicating, cutting, and doing all the things we need your team to do, out of a hard-cutting offensive possession, can you catch it on the fly, square up, and make this shot 37 times out of 100? Now, that's a much better question to ask that player. Now, you may have forgot by now, but my title of this podcast is The Janitor in the Boardroom. Listen, when big decisions are made in huge corporations in downtown New York City and high rises, all the things I've read, I have yet to see a situation where when they assembled to make that decision, they invited the janitor into the boardroom. Why? Is he any less important than anybody in that room? No, he just has less zeros in his checking account. That's all. You know, he could be the guy with the highest integrity in the building. But they don't invite him in the boardroom. Okay? Because he's not knowledgeable about the things they're talking about. So his vote simply wouldn't count. Right? He doesn't need to be in the boardroom. He doesn't have the expertise. He's not a high-level performer in whatever business that they're involved in. No, he's not invited. For the same reason, should little Johnny, who feels bad because they don't let him shoot, be able to take any shot he wants? No. He should leave the boardroom. And it's our job to convince our players what their roles are. Listen, here's what you can do to help us win. Guys, that is the best way because it's positive, it's empowering, and you're giving a kid a chance to help your team win and be a part of that team. To tell a kid you can't take this shot, you can't take that shot, you can't take that shot is not the way to do it. You can come up with a way to say that, but in a better way. And that's the art of coaching. It really is. They don't invite the janitor into the boardroom. And, you know, in this podcast, really take an honest look at the way you coach your team. Do you clarify and define shot selection, shot type? Do you? Do you keep stats in practice that can back up what parents think they see in games? Because what they'll do, they'll say, hey, last Friday night, remember, you put him in the game and he hit two threes right in a row. Yeah, I remember. Boy, that was great. He really gave us a lift. Well, he should be playing more, and you should let him shoot that three-point shot. Well, Mr. and Mrs., I don't get it. Here's the deal. Do you realize that before he hit those two threes, he was 3 for 27? Okay? Okay, I you know, my job is to give these kids a great learning opportunity for life. Teach them adversity, teach them teamwork. teach them the value of winning, okay, and what we can learn from losing. But I enjoy winning as much as anybody else. I'm not downing your child, but what I'm telling you is he's now made 3 out of 29. Okay, and 1 out of 10 is just not good enough. There's better things that he can bring to the team other than shooting. You can have these conversations, and you can win every conversation. Now, make sure that your stats in your practices, make sure you take those and use those. You know, last thing, a good friend of mine, Ray Giacoletti, he's had an unbelievable college coaching career. Ray Jack had a great run at Gonzaga with Mark Few, has been the head coach at Drake. He's been a head coach at University of Utah, University of Eastern Washington. Coach Giacoletti the other day over lunch said that he's gone as far as coming up with a shooting license. And it's basically a number that players have to hit. So if a player is not happy with playing time or the amount of shots that they're getting in a game, he will say, well, it's up to you to earn the right to be able to take those shots. And what a great approach. Because here's a kid, you got a kid grumbling, okay, that won't come in the gym for nothing. Will never come in for extra shots. Will never come to you asking for some advice on the basics of a shot. Won't do any of that, but yet he wants more playing time and he wants the license to take shots. That's ridiculous. So Ray Jack's on to something. Ray Giacoletti. He's a wealth of knowledge, and he would be one. If you need to track down Ray Jack, visit with him. He'll talk ball all day with you. But he is the one that told me about the shooting license. So I hope I've made my point. As you can tell, I get fired up about this stuff. It just drives me nuts. You have a post player shooting 57%, and they never throw it to him in the post when he's open. So go figure. And if you're a coach on the sideline allowing that to happen, remember, what happens on the floor on a Friday night are the things that we've allowed our players to do or not do Monday through Thursday. Podcast number 5, The Janitor in the Boardroom. I hope you enjoyed it. We'll see you at our next podcast for College Coach Mentoring. This is Randy Brown.